Good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Sam McLaughlin, and I'm the senior pastor here at Belmead, and we're so glad that you're here to worship with us. Gracie mentioned that yellow visitor card in the pew rack, and we would love for you to fill that out. We have a gift for you for being here today. You want the gift because it has a goo-goo cluster in it. So we would love to meet you in the narthex. If you're with us online, I'm sorry there are no goo-goo clusters for you, unless you want to give us your information and we'll mail you one. We're just so glad you're here, and we hope you'll say hello to our online pastor, Rachel. Before I really get started today, I want to lift up to you a couple of ways that I've seen the light in this Advent season through you. One of those is on Friday, we had our big party for all the students at H.G. Hill Middle School. Some of you know that we have a partnership with Dollar General, and we gift every student a $10 gift card to Dollar General, as well as a bunch of candy and, you know, fun stuff that they like to eat. And so on Friday, I was driving here to pick up my daughter in the afternoon, and I saw kids out at the bus stop with their bags. And then last night, I saw a reel, like an Instagram reel. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. I saw pictures and videos from the party, and just so many happy kids getting their cake and, you know, just being with our volunteers who are there weekly to tutor with them. There are just so many ways that we are in partnership with these students at H.G. Hill, and that has just brought so much joy and light to us, and I believe to them as well. So I wanted to lift that up to you. Another is our pledge campaign. This is the last time I'm going to say it publicly, okay? The last time I'm going to bring it up, but we're at 94% of our goal, which is huge, yeah. And so we're at 94% of our goal of raising $830,000. And so that's huge. And we're just so grateful for you and your gifts. If you haven't made a pledge and you intend to, we would love for you to do that. But that's the last thing I'm saying out loud. But it is a huge joy and a huge light. And I want to make sure that you heard that next week for Christmas Eve, we're just about 1 week away, all of our services will be here in the sanctuary. If you don't want to get out in the cold or the dark, we'd love for you to come at 10:30 in the morning. It's essentially going to be the same. It's just going to be a little bit lighter on the music. We won't have our guest instrumentalists here, but a lot of our choir will be here. It's going to be wonderful. So we hope to see you then. At 3 o'clock is a great space for children, for grandparents, for people who just love kids, because it's holy chaos. It's so much fun, but there's so many ways for them to be involved. I want to remind you that the number one reason that someone comes to church is because someone they personally know extended an invitation to them. So on your way out the door, we have invites with candy canes attached to them. Who doesn't want a candy cane? Take those with you and pass them out and invite someone to come and join us. All right, this December in our season of Advent, where we've been traveling to the manger, we've been talking about how we can frame this path with the stories of our faith. And so sometimes we come to this season in the year and we get really wrapped up in what Christmas should look like, right? These ideals of perfection, consumerism, gift giving. It's not that any of those things are bad. It's just that we want to keep our minds focused on Christ. We want to hear what these stories share with us about the light. And I don't know if maybe you've caught yourself over the last couple of weeks, but I know that I have caught myself. Last Thursday night, we had the whole staff at our house for dinner. My husband woke up sick, just like no help at all, okay? And I have two children, 5 and 2, so I'm literally running the 5-year-old to school and just like throwing him in the door and bringing my daughter to the children's center and running around town. And I had those moments, right, where I'm like, the decorations don't look how I want them to. I forgot to buy this piece of food, or, you know, I didn't get this drink. And I had to stop and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is coming together, celebrating, appreciating one another, being together around a table. And so I hope that you have had these moments where you remember it doesn't matter if you sent the right cards or you bought the right dress or you said the right words, Jesus still comes. And we get to intentionally make our way towards him. On the first Sunday of this season of Advent, we talked about an older couple named Zachariah and Elizabeth. We're told in the book of Luke that they are people who have been unable to conceive a child. But all of a sudden, when Zachariah goes into the temple, this holy of holies, he is met by an angel there in the darkness. And this angel announces to him that he and his wife will give birth to a son. Now, we said that as people who had sort of lost hope, you know, they had given up on this dream, like that fire had burnt out. This was a moment when everything changed in an instant for the best. And so we said, we don't want to be people who live with a sense of dread or worry or fear that the worst thing is about to take place. We want to be people who live expectantly and joyfully and hopefully anticipating that Christ will break in and give us these beautiful moments where everything happens for the best. Now, you might remember that when that angel came to John in that dark room, to Zechariah, he said that you will give birth to a son named John, and people will rejoice over him. He'll be so full of the Holy Spirit, like so charismatic. He'll just bring people to Christ, and he will follow in the tradition of the prophets like Elijah as he prepares the people for the coming of Jesus. And so today, as we look at this passage in John, we're learning more about who John was and who God called him to be. What John tells us is there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all people would believe. He reiterates, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, some of what is taking place here is contextual. People were confused about who John was and what his role was. And so the author of this book is clarifying who this man was. He's sent from God. He's meant to testify to the light. But what we also know is at play is this idea, this tension that we live in to testify to the light and not become the light, not seek the limelight, right? With believing that God said, you are the light of the world. You have to shine so that others know who I am. And so here is this reminder, this balance that we're trying to strike of not making things about us while also letting that light shine. This is a moment for me where we can check our egos. We can scan our lives and we can look for those places where we've made ourselves too important and too central. This is a moment where we can say, where can I handle a good spoonful of humility, right? Where am I seeking praise and recognition and credit? Where am I puffed up with pride? Along that vein, we might add that there may be places where we find ourselves concerned with how bright other people are shining, right? Where we sort of have this spirit of competition or this spirit of comparison that makes us jealous or envious or even verbally degrading of another because they're shining brighter than we are because we want what they have. This week, our Children's Center kids were actually standing right here on Friday when they delivered their Christmas program. And the teacher, the music teacher, Miss Sammy, was sharing about Hanukkah and invited some kids to also share about Hanukkah. And she said this quote. She said, a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. You lose nothing by allowing someone else to share their light. So how are we people that don't seek to snuff that out because of our comparison or jealousy or envy, but actually see that light and encourage it and ignite it and fan the flame? That's one side of it. The other side of it is this reminder of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Shine, glow, be bright, so that people see the glory of your Father in heaven, right? It is sort of like we're this conduit where light is just flowing through us. We're this stained glass window reflecting the beauty and the character and the image of God. And so today you might need this reminder, right, that you are capable of being those people who like come and light up the party, right? They're bright and they're fun and they bring joy and excitement and humor. Or you're capable of being that candle that has a long, slow, steady burn, that is consistent, that is faithful. That you're like that lighter that can ignite and activate others by what you see and acknowledge and call out in them. Some of you might say to me, Sam, actually, no more, I'm more like a match today. You know, like I'm lit, but in about 1 minute, I'm going to be burnt out, right? They're like, I'm running on fumes. I'm at the end of my tank. The rope is getting short. So I'd say to you, the light is coming. Hold on. Draw close to these consistent, steady, faithful people. You are capable of being the nightlight, keeping vigil with people in their darkest hours, staying with them after the death, after the illness, after the tragedy, checking in on them 6 months later, 1 year later, 2 years later, letting people know that they are not alone. Or maybe you can be what St. Francis of Assisi said, a child's play toy with jingle bells. That's not what he said. That was supposed to be funny. An instrument of peace. Someone that sows hope where there is despair, peace where there is discord, love where there is hatred, or maybe like Mother Teresa said, a little pencil in the hand of God. Here to write, here to speak, here to dance, here to paint, here to sing, whatever God has given me to do. You are a person who can testify and witness to the light of Christ, just like John. What we read about John in the book of Luke is a little different. It says that he comes preaching a baptism of repentance. He doesn't start off really well. He calls the whole crowd a brood of vipers, like you bunch of snakes. That really does not make you want to be baptized, does it? I mean, so he comes to this crowd and he sort of insults them, but in some way it works. And he says to them, look, it's not just that you verbally confess your sins. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Something has to change in your behavior and your actions. Fruit has to come from you saying sorry. This love and patience and endurance and self-control of the Spirit has to be evident in your life for real reconciliation to take place. And so the crowd asks really good questions. They look at John after he says this and they say, okay, well, what should we do? And this is what John says. If you want to be the light of the world, if you have two shirts, then give away one. If you have food, then give away food to someone who needs it. The tax collectors walk up to him and they say, well, what should we do? And he knew about their propensity to pocket money for themselves. And so he says, don't collect any more money than you're required to. Then the soldiers come up to John and they say, well, what should we do? And John says, don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with what you have. Listen to what John is saying. This is about living outwardly for others. This is about loving your neighbors, seeing their humanity, acknowledging their need, and fulfilling it. Every single one of us can share our clothes, can give people food. We can think about ways that when we're trying to turn a profit, we can actually just help somebody out. We don't abuse the power that we have over others. We don't assume that we know something about someone without seeking the information, about knowing the truth. All of us could pose this question to God, what then should I do? This week, there are really two stories that God has asked me to share with you. The first is this. Like many of you, I have been watching the news and hearing about the repercussions of the tornadoes that went through Nashville last week. And in all of the sharing of the victims and the stories and their families, I came across one of those families through an organization called TURC. It stands for Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. It's a group that I follow. And I learned through them about a family who lost their mother and wife and a 2-year-old son. The man's name is Felipe Mendez, and he's originally from Guatemala and came here 5 months ago with his family trying to seek a better life, seek asylum. And he, last Saturday night, his wife and his 2-year-old son were in their home when a mobile home came and landed on their residence, taking both of their lives. Now, I think that this story, to be honest with you, probably grabs me because I have a 2-year-old daughter, you know? And I'm thinking about those two young boys and that father and all that they are facing now. It probably grabbed me because of rhetoric I hear around immigrants and refugees and the fact that my own father is an immigrant from Jordan, you know? And so I saw where a news station was sharing this information on Instagram, and I saw people were asking for a way to financially help this family out. And so I had access to the GoFundMe page through this organization, TURC, and so I posted it on social media, you know, just expecting people to be like, here's a way that I can help. Of course, there was someone who was commenting on every person's thing who was trying to express sympathy or to help out. And one of the things that this person said was that if this family had not come here illegally, then these two people would not be dead. Now, first of all, this person is making a lot of assumptions because we don't actually know if that was the case. Second of all, of course, that's absurd and insensitive. I know that this kind of thing exists in the world. All of us know this. What scares me is when this line of thinking breeds fear and isms and phobias, and that we fail to see the humanity in another person, right? We fail to see their humanity. And here John is saying, you can be the light of the world when you see need and you respond to it. When someone is suffering, you don't step in with your generalizations and assumptions and criticisms. You listen for the ways that God is calling you to break down barriers and boundaries. And honestly, church, I found myself very convicted. I'm not here to bash somebody I don't know on the internet. I'm here to say that God was saying to me, how do you break down your barriers? And the ways that you judge or criticize or assess if someone is worthy of your help, you know? This, I think, is what it meant by John calling us to repentance. There's this darkness, there's this sin that lives within me that keeps me from sharing this light of Christ without bounds. Sort of in a contrast to this story, I had a younger couple who's kind of newer to our church send me an email this week, and they said, you know what, we've really been praying about how we want to help somebody out this holiday season. Like, we do things with Salvation Army, we do the angel tree, but like, we think that maybe there's somebody in the church that we can help. They said, do you know any single parents? Because we came from a single parent household, and we just, you know that sometimes at the end of the year, people could use a little bit of help. And I said, yeah, I can actually think of two families that we could help if that's what you want to do. And so, you know, the middle of the week this week, they drove up and handed me a $1,000 check and said, it's at your discretion to distribute this in the way that you need. I haven't even told them yet that I gave that money to two separate teenage parents taking care of infants. I don't know how you get any closer to helping Mary and Joseph in the flesh, right? I mean, to give freely with no boundaries, with no questions, with no barriers, to break things down. This is the capacity that we all have. And God really just convicted me this week to say, each of us can do this. Each of us can examine our hearts. We can't get rid of all the darkness and the injustice and the evil that we see in the world, but we can combat it. We can push back on it. We can resist it by being the light of Christ. We can examine our own hearts, our own egos, and we can repent and do better with our behaviors and our actions. As we get to Christmas, this is what really matters: to see our neighbors, to love them, to love people, to satisfy the necessities of their flesh may be the only true way to witness to testify to receive the Word who was made flesh for us. May it be so. Amen.